And we have a team of graduate students and researchers at MIT who have been working with Jonathan Gale on developing an app to help locate light sources for visually impaired and also for deaf-blind people.
I am totally blind. I have flat zero vision for over 25 years. And there are students at MIT who do what's called a hackathon every year. And I've got two of the three members from the team that I work with here, Dan and Ari. A hackathon is basically where these particular students who are, for the most part, graduate and doctorate students, are looking to improve accessible technology for different types of disabilities. In my case, they look for what I thought I would wanted when I got the email that said, you know, what do you think is a good, cool thing, neat thing for people? I could have come up with something for wheelchairs or whatever. In my case, I focused on something that tells me if lights are on or off. What happens is you go to a meeting. This is like a quick 10-minute dating service, because there's a dinner where there are probably 20 different ideas that are presented, and only, I think, 10 of the ideas or so can be picked. So after all the ideas are presented, these students come around to you like it's a quick 10-minute dating service, and you're selling the product. You're selling your idea. You're pitching this for 10 minutes. And the students ultimately decide if they're interested in your concept or idea or not. Once they've developed that, and they've determined that you're one of the 10, which I was fortunate to be, then they go to a hackathon, which Dan or Ari can explain to you. But it's basically a full day in all the different types of labs, using everything from the computers to the laser equipment, to the saws, to the drills, everything, to design whatever they're designing. And then at the end of the day, there's a team of, I'm going to call them experts or scientists, that look at what they've done, determine the value of it in terms of, is it something that can work or not work, and then they present awards that evening. And then some of the students who were selected at the higher end of the scale, which as we were, can continue to do the work and to follow up on it. So that's what brings us here today. The idea that I proposed, and I'm going to ask Dan and Ari in about 2 minutes to explain the technical side of it. I'm the person who is the consumer, the end user, who has been testing it from the consumer's perspective. The other thing, if we're a takeaway today, they're hoping that this particular app can be uploaded and available as an Android an iPhone application within a few weeks or a month. So they're going to be looking for feedback, positive or negative, ways it can be used, positive or negative. They're also going to be looking for a few of us, besides myself, who have no vision or not enough vision to use light, who are willing to have this uploaded to their phone today as a prototype and test it and work with it for a couple of weeks so that we can put together, you know, the modifications or a few things that have to be made. So we've discussed this already. They want to put this out as a free app available to anybody. The basis for this is, as we all know, there are a couple of different applications already that are out there for detecting light and telling us if lights are on or not. I think one or two of them work moderately well, but they don't totally focus on whether light's on or not in the exact point of the light. Sometimes you have to go past the point of light first, or not quite to the point of light, and you get inaccurate readings. Another is the way that it tells you, and this one has a tone sound, and you'll hear it when I turn it on. You'll hear a tone, and as the phone moves around, the tone will constantly change. But if I hold it in one position, the tone stays the same because it's focused like a laser on one target. If I tap the screen once, it will tell me the percentage of light coming into the phone, so I can see if I'm getting closer. Now, I can also tell by the pitch and the sound whether I'm getting closer to the light. And when I get right on target, it sounds like there's a time bomb about to go off. You'll hear like that. So you'll hear all of that. Another key feature, which is not built into any other devices that we could find right now, and this is when Jerry mentioned earlier for deaf-blind use, is we can also do a swipe on the phone, a Z-swipe, but the Z-swipe will put it on vibrate. So it's not in at that point, it's not on mute, but at the same time while you're hearing the beep, you feel the vibration. You can move it around and the vibration will tell you if it's, you know, you're getting closer to the light source or not. If you put it on mute, because you don't want everybody in the room to know that you have this time bomb about to go off, then you're still going to get the vibration. And again, the vibration gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it's almost a solid when you're right on a target. So you can use it on mute too. If you're in an office or you're in a place where you really don't want people to know that you want to know if lights are on, things like that. I like the concept for me, first of all, because this is a very simple process. It's something that I think anybody in the world who has the access to different applications could use. It's not language specific. You don't have to have a phone that can speak different languages and so forth to do. This is the simplest version so far. I have my own ideas for versions I'd like to see in the future that would be connected, for example, to having to be able to scan a room and do a digital scan or an electronic scan of different devices, and then eventually be Bluetooth capable. So even if I'm not home, I can check and see if lights are on or off. That's down the road.
I'm Dan Preston, a grad student here in mechanical engineering.
I'm Ari. I'm a PhD student.
student in computer science.
We took Jonathan's idea and developed that into an app. The app that we have right now that we're hoping some of you will actually help us test is just about 2 weeks old since it was first conceptualized and sort of started to be developed. One of the things we did sort of in parallel with developing this app was look at what else is out there already in this space in terms of detecting light, where light sources are, how intense they are, in order for you to be able to find these light sources. And there's a physical piece of hardware that you can buy that you can scan a room with that costs about $200. It's functional, but the price might be a little bit prohibitive for some. And there's also already actually an app for the iPhone that claims to have this functionality, but as Jonathan mentioned, he's interested in getting a really fast response time, and we ran some trials with Jonathan, and he says that the response time from this app that already exists, which is just called Light Detector, is really not up to par. In addition, we noticed a couple other disadvantages to the app that already exists, one being that there's sort of a problem with their sensing mechanism where it doesn't take into account the auto exposure that the iPhone is automatically doing, and another problem just being actually the cost. So I think it might be about $2 on the App Store. And as Jonathan mentioned, we're interested in releasing ours for free and trying to reach a larger user base and allowing people to get this functionality on their phone. The core idea is that we're running a loop that's interfacing with the video feature from the phone's camera, using that to capture images, doing some processing for those images to determine how bright the signal coming in is. And then in each iteration of the loop, we also, after that processing, we have a value for how bright the light coming in is towards the camera. We're able to then put the output out to the user, which is either, as Jonathan mentioned, in the form of a tone, which changes in frequency and pitch, or also in the form of a vibration, if you're interested in using it in more of a subtle manner.
What's the name of your app?
Our app is called Boop.
Yeah, right now we just have it called
Boop. When I'm holding my phone in my hand, it's the back camera. So the screen of the phone is facing me if I'm holding it up and down. Or if I want to hold it different directions, I can hold it so that, you know, the back of the phone is facing towards the ground, towards the ceiling, whatever it is. And that's kind of indicated by how I move my phone, and it tells me where the light is.
Do a demonstration, okay. John, so we get an idea what it's about.
So I'm going to tap it just like anything else, double tap to open. When it does, you're going to hear beep. Now, what you hear is that I'm holding my phone in exactly one position, and I'm going to slide slightly left.
At some point, if you turn the light off, it's wrong.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. Now, just to give you an example of how the light works, if I hold it towards my body, I have a dark shirt on. Stops. It's right against my body. There's no light coming in.
Hold up the ceiling.
Okay, if I go towards the ceiling. That's right at the light. Now I'm off the light here. Another light, off the light. I'm going, as I move here, and I have it way up in the air, I don't have to have it up in the air. I'm still holding it right now at shoulder length.
How much distance are you going to see?
Well, we'll find out in a minute. I'll show you. And also, if I tap the back of it,
100.
That tells me there's 100% of light coming in. If I turn it another way and tap it, 85% of the light coming in. So it lets me focus in on the light. And you hear, because of the lights up above, can you guys shut the lights off for a minute?
Yep.
Over there.
So now we're in a dark room here.
And you hear a much softer sound because it's a much darker room. But if I go towards the windows.
We actually have the shades closed.
Let's pull up one shade.
We're going to
pull up just one shade. So listen to what happens when a shade goes up.
Talented enough.
Just hold it up a minute.
Oh, that's
okay, it's because it's headed towards the window. But if I turn it back towards the door.
Cool.
Another feature, so we talked about, I've shown you this part of it so far. And again, you don't have to have this up in the air. I'm holding this right down by my waist to do these same things right now. And now it's headed towards the shade. That's why you see it like that. It's headed right where the sun is coming in, where the window's wide open. If I turn it back towards Jerry, to the dark side. So now I'm going to put it on vibrate. And you said the new vibrate is what?
The two finger Z.
So now it's on vibrate. It didn't say it to me, but I can feel it vibrating. And I'm going to turn this off for a minute. And everybody's really quiet. I don't know if anybody can hear it or not. If there's a microphone, we can use it.
No, I don't hear it.
I can feel it. That's the best way I can put it. And if I turn it towards the light, towards the window again, this vibration is getting strong. I don't know if anybody wants to feel the vibration. What I did with the sound is I just hit the mute button on the side, and it's vibrating fast now. But it also shows visually. For somebody who has vision, it does show these on the screen visually how much light is coming in. That way, nobody knows that I'm using this. Except me, and I can hear the vibration. I wish I had a microphone so you guys could hear it. Anyway, it vibrates like if you have a text message coming in, but the pattern's broken up similar to the way the beep is. The purpose of this is, even if a person is, you know, some people, for example, who may have a hearing impairment, number one, may not really be able to work with the sound. A lot of people, as we all know, especially in different types of abilities like blindness, you can have diabetic retinopathy, you can have no feeling for in extremities like hands for other reasons. So there's more than one way to use this. This is, if I put the sound back on, this is extremely accurate in finding the light. Really accurate. So, another application, you know, in my case, for example, I want to know, I have a family that's fully sighted. I want to know if my wife goes to bed at night and says, oh, honey, I shut the lights off already. BS. Yeah, right. I know better than that. Come on. Or I want to check and see if a computer screen was left on, because computers use a lot of power, and the sighted world half the time doesn't shut things down. They just get up and walk away. I want to save on my electric bill. I'm going to turn this down. I want to save on my electric bill. If I have somebody come in for dinner, the last thing I want is to have somebody come in the kitchen and say, could you turn the lights on? We're all used to that. Everybody's done that. If I'm in an office and I'm the last one to leave, I can go around the office and know if the lights are on or off. If it's a room with dual switches, we've all been in houses or apartments or offices like that, where you have different walls. This tells me if the lights are on or off. Even if the room is dark, it allows me to know if there's another door somewhere with light coming out of it. Or if you go into a hotel and somebody helps you to your room and they leave the light on. The uses are unlimited.
If you have a device and there's a small little green light, or a small little red light, like a dot.
Would it detect, would it find that?
Would it find that?
So Jerry has a charger on the ground here, and it has a green LED indicator light. We could test it out. That's a use case we haven't thought of.
The smallest thing I've tried this on so far is a little microwave LED. Whether it was, I plugged it in and then unplugged it
here,
and it was able to tell me that there was something there. Obviously, it can't tell me what it is, but it did find it. Remember, the tones get very soft if there's not much light.
I actually have a laptop charger LED on the front face of it.
With this one, or you have?
I have the sound on this one here. So right now, I'm looking at not the LED, and I'm going to slide this right over the LED. That's over the LED, and this is, Ari will unplug it. So now it's on,
and
it's off there.
So the answer to your question is
you can leave it unplugged.
How far away from the LED was the phone? Was it right up against it, an inch away, 2 inches away?
Yeah, it was about less than an inch.
An inch away. But if this was a completely dark room and that was the only thing on, it's going to find it from a further distance away. Now, somebody else had a suggestion to make to me the other night when I was showing it to some folks was, is there a way that they can build an app that distinguishes the type of light, like yellow light, green light, blue light? Because very often, as a person, we're told, look for the blue light.
A blinking light versus a solid, and I would think it would detect that. It would probably give a different kind of a tone.
As long as the blinking was happening slow enough.
Yeah.
So if it's flashing really quick, like on, off, it might not really be able to tell.
Don't worry about colored lights, because there is nothing on the market today that accurately can identify colors. There are lots of programs that do it, but none of them really do it all that well. There have been light probes available for 30 years, and people, I remember using them when I used to have a phone that had buttons on it. I had to know which one was lit. I especially like the fact that it vibrates, because I work with deaf-blind people, and they really don't have a way, as far as I know right now, to know when the lights are on or off, other than feel the bulb and see if it's hot.
Can they distinguish natural light and artificial light?
We don't have any functionality to do that right now, only the light's intensity.
They're using the camera, so based off of the pixels in the camera, they come in RGB right now, and one of the ways we're trying to get a more accurate reading of the light is by converting it to the hue, saturation, value, color space. And so the hue value usually gives a more accurate reading on what color it is, but it's still very fragile to changes in lighting. And then the value can just basically tell you about the luminance. Right now with that sort of feature, you really can't detect like what frequencies are the lights you're seeing. It's just...
When in the camera processing, do you do any pre-processing before you actually determine the intensity? I mean, can you crop the image coming from the camera to make it more accurate so you're only looking at a smaller field of view?
That's exactly what we're doing. The image we get is larger, but we're looking at the center of it, and we do the computation on the average of those centered.
Cool. That is, I tried it with a birthday candle from across the room and nothing else on. From across the room, even with some other light on in the room, it did find the birthday candle. And then when I shut it off, it lit up like a Christmas tree, with, you know, the regular lights off. So it did find the birthday candle. Across, and as I got closer to it, probably 15 feet with the birthday candle, it pinpointed it exactly.
That's kind of sort of focuses in on what we did with dealing with the auto exposure on the iPhone's camera. So that's something that hadn't been done in prior work in this field with apps. But the iPhone basically changes its exposure value, which is how long the shutter is open and also how sensitive the sensor is that takes in the light data. It does that automatically to allow you to, for example, outside, take a nice picture that has all the different range of brightnesses there involved, but also take a picture in a dark room as well. And it's doing this all automatically. And instead of turning off the automatic adjusting of the exposure, what we did was actually just look at some of the physics behind what's going on inside the camera. What we did was look at the exposure time and also the ISO value and how those affect the luminance, and took those into account when we then scaled whatever values we were getting from the camera. So we get a value, the camera says it's this bright, but we also need to know how long the shutter was open and how sensitive the sensor was, and then we can adjust the value that the camera's giving us based on those two factors to tell us how bright it actually is.
Can you determine lumens though? Like if you wanted to know whether you had a 40, you know, different side, like a floodlight versus different kinds of incandescent bulbs or LED bulbs. Yours is just a relative percentage, right, that you're getting with the phone, right?
Right now it's sort of a relative percentage that we just built in based on what seems to be pretty bright in terms of everyday light and what seems to be dark when it's a dark room. But we can actually go back and use some of the physics and some of the underlying equations to calculate the luminance coming in through the camera. We move the lumina value. And that's something that for any device that's handheld would change whether you get closer or farther away from the light, because that's just how much light's actually coming in to where you're actually located. But you could use that, say for example, if you always held it a certain distance, like a couple feet away from a bulb, and then you could back calculate what the actual lumen value for the bulb is.
You can't even tell with a lot of those low energy bulbs if you touch the bulb whether it's on or not.
That's
true. There's no heat at all that comes from those bulbs. So something like this would be very good for that situation.
Does it have to be any particular model specific, like higher than 5, higher than 4?
I'm not exactly sure what the lowest version we can do.
I have a 6, just so there.
I have a 5 and a 6. So
I don't think it's the phone model that's the issue. It's the operating system that sometimes causes a problem.
Sure.
It's too
old,
I can't.
So they ask you to update your iOS on
the phone.
And does the phone have to be unlocked for you to put the app on?
Yeah.
Okay.
The lowest we've used is a 5. Anything 5 or older we think should work, and we think it's probably more important that the operating system just be updated to the newest version.
Again, remember, it's the back camera, so the screen is facing you, or the screen is facing up the air to read the floor, or the screen is facing you to read whatever is in front of you or around you, or the screen is facing the floor to go up towards the ceiling. So you don't want to have your hand on the screen or covering the camera when you're doing it.
You mean you don't want to have your hand on the back?
On the back of the phone. On the back of the phone, so just on the sides.
Right.
Ultimately, when the app is released, we're going to put an instructional screen also, like any other app for a person who's visually impaired, that explains how to use it and what to do.
This was very interesting. This is good.
Thank
glad you guys came.